I'm just stockpiling episodes to edit while I'm in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Hospital edits sound better. I think that every movie should come up with its hospital cut.
Not the hospital cut.
Yeah, where the director was in the hospital editing it. I guess the editor.
Hello, hello, and welcome to one of our recap episodes where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas watching Degrassi The Next Generation from beginning to end. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and join me every other week with Ezra Parter as we watch these characters do whatever it takes and make it through.
Welcome back. This is Cuckoo Bananas! Exclamation point, a Degrassi colon. The Next Generation podcast. I am your host, Keely Bell, and I'm a little horse today.
I am Ezra Parter, your co-host, and I'm a little unicorn today.
I was hoping you were going to do that. I was going to say, I hope he does like a little donkey, a little mule.
I'm a little ass today.
But yeah, I don't know why my voice just got a little hoarse. But yeah, wow, we just recorded our last episode 2 days ago.
Yeah, and we told the audience that we weren't sure when we'd get to do this again, and then 2 days later we're like, I don't know, you want to do another episode?
Yeah, because we're still in quarantine.
Yeah.
So we were just like, I might as well. So I'm just like keeping, because I'll be uploading an episode on Monday, which was what me and Daniel recorded in June.
Yeah.
And then next Monday, hopefully,
we'll call it the pre-hospital episode.
Yeah, yeah, the pre-op, if you will.
Pre-op episode. No, you didn't have an operation.
True, true, true. And then the following Monday, I'll hopefully upload what we recorded on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following Monday, I'll be uploading this.
And by the time you hear this, you'll have heard all of those.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Great.
Wow. Yeah, we're back into the episode by episode. And guess what we forgot to do?
I don't know.
We forgot to take notes.
Oh, yeah, I did know that.
So this is going to be a little chaotic because it is a two-parter.
It's a two-part episode. We didn't take notes. We don't know exactly what happened, but we know some big takeaways.
So let's just dive on into this because you are so busy. You have somewhere to be in an hour and a half, less than that. So we got to get through this two-parter nice and quick.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that hard to do. There wasn't really, like, there was a lot that happened, but I feel like it's easy to go through.
Yeah, there were only two plot lines.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be too bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Despite being a two-part episode, they were just like, we only have enough for two plots.
Yeah, and the B plot's very dumb.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about it.
But, so this was season 3, episode 1, because like I said, season 3 is when stuff gets good, which is why we're back doing it episode by episode. And it was called Father Figure.
Father Figure.
And last episode, you predicted correctly, didn't you?
I did predict correctly that she was going to find her birth dad, and I also predicted incorrectly that it wouldn't have to do with Spike's birth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I thought that would come later and like get its whole a whole episode of its own later. But it's cool that they brought them in together.
Yeah, and
it worked really well.
I really like the way they did. I really love like analyzing Emma's arc and stuff, and her having the like, what about my dad feelings when she sees her mom starting a family with Snake? It's like, yeah, that's a really clever way to intertwine those two things together and to answer some questions for those of us who didn't watch the original series from the '80s.
Yeah. And it definitely like my older sister has a different dad and was moved to the basement when my younger sister her own room. And that's what happens. Emma gets moved to the basement and to make room for the brother. And I was like, oh, I understand why my older sister's fucked up now. She's not. She's fine. But
like, yeah. Oh. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, no.
My older sister's name is Emma Nelson.
Emma Simpson. That was I love that little detail of the episode. Okay, so let's introduce the episode. The episode is season 3, episode 1, Father Figure.
Father Figure.
Our key player is Emma with, in our B plot, our key players being Spinner and Paige.
And Jimbo.
And Jimmy. And Hazel. And kind of a lot of people.
Yeah.
We start the episode out with Spike being absolutely insane and has been running drills for her family because she's having a home birth.
Faking her contractions so that people will scramble and get the place ready. For the opening scene, Emma like rushes to lay down a mattress and then and then Snake like rushes to grab something else and trips on the mattress and breaks something. Like,
And Spike is just like, oh, it was a drill.
It was a drill. Fake.
And Emma's like, you've been drilling us all summer. And Spike is like, well, I apologize. Well, you, that's what you need when you're having a home birth.
It's like, and no, it's maybe like, just have a good plan.
Yeah, literally.
Maybe I'm crazy, but just like, you know, have a bathtub ready.
Yeah, I haven't. It's interesting. I don't know if this was just, it was like in the early 2000s and people weren't as educated as they were on home birth, but I don't think I've ever seen a home birth not take place in the water. But maybe they don't want to, I don't know. Maybe they don't want to get all the birth juice, get all the birth grossness all over their room.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
And then you have to sleep there that night.
Yeah. But if you get it all over the living room like they did, and by the way, at the end of this episode, when she finally gives birth, spoiler alert, God, they got birth juice all over the room.
Just covered, it dripping. Was a,
yeah. It was like a scene from
Carrie.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get to see some new characters in the intro, and it ends on Marco showing off his jean jacket, mm-hmm. which good for him.
Everyone's a little older. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Marco, his hair is longer. A lot of people have longer hair.
Yeah, JT with long hair is a little disappointing. I mean, it's fine. Do you, JT? But like, mm-hmm. the like little tiny baby skinny head JT is
skinny
great.
Head JT.
He had such a skinny head.
He did. You're right. I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand. He looked a lot like Sheen from Jimmy Neutron.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And I wish I could say that he goes back to his roots. He doesn't. Because the early mid-2000s was all about the floppy-haired boys.
That's true. That's yeah. true.
And a lot of our boys have floppy hair. JT, Marco, Spinner has floppy hair. Mm-hmm. Jimmy doesn't have floppy hair, but he has started edging up his afro so that it's no longer going all the way down his neck, which mm-hmm. I like. Toby's hair is pretty much the same.
Yeah, Toby still has a bowl cut.
Yeah. No, he doesn't have a bowl cut anymore. I think he's starting to like spike it up. A little bit.
I didn't notice him.
Yeah. He wasn't really in the episode much. No. Anyone else have interesting new styles? I love Paige's new haircut. Like, now that mm-hmm. I understand the Y2K girlies and their, like, obsession with, like, the Rachel and stuff, mm-hmm. I'm getting it now. And I saw Paige's haircut and I was like, that's fucking
cute. What do you mean
cute.
Now that you understand? What happened?
Well, now that I'm on TikTok. But I understand the difference between Paige's hair in season 2 and Paige's hair now. And I understand that it's a little more framey of her face. It flips out at the ends in the back. There's layers. It looks really cute and it looks very 2004.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. I cut my own hair for most of my life.
And you still try to now.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I had to force you to get a professional haircut.
Yeah, and when I did, the guy completely ignored what I said.
And it looked great. Thing. It looked fantastic.
And he left saying that my girlfriend would love me again. And yep. I was like, you think she doesn't love me now?
Is that true?
That is true.
What? You didn't tell
didn't
me
tell
that.
Yeah, he left being like, yeah, it's going to reinvigorate things. Your girlfriend's going to love you again. I was like, because I had mentioned you, but yeah. I didn't say that you didn't love me. I don't know. I just said that wow. you made me get a haircut.
Well, he's so insightful. where are we? Oh, yeah. Everyone has fun new looks. Ellie looks pretty much the same. Hazel's hair is curly, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. Ashley's red hair now.
Ashley has short red hair now. I was about to say, Terry's playing lacrosse. In the opening for no reason. Right. I let you know. I was like, spoiler alert, Terry never plays lacrosse.
It's just a cover for her motorcycle game.
But yeah, and everybody just looks a little older. And this is when I think, because like I love watching kids grow up. I think it's one of the small joys in life. Mm. And these guys getting older and older by the season is just...
The opening scene on this new locker, I'm like, oh, the building is being condemned this season. It was like, it was like the lights were flickering. Most of the lockers were open and spilling stuff.
Yeah. And somebody planted a fake rat in Paige's new locker, like as if this is where the like bad kids are apparently, right. Which I'm like, that seems illegal. Putting all your bad kids in one locker ghetto.
Yeah. I know it's Canada and the rules are different, but I'm pretty sure like, segregation of any kind is not allowed, whether it's by just like bad kids over here. I don't know. Then you get into a whole gray area of how you decide who's bad. Oh, no.
Yeah. And Spinner sees it and he's like, huh, my girlfriend is sad. She doesn't like her new locker. What can I do to fix it? And it leads him on an entire. Can we just get the whole B plot out of the way?
Yeah, let's just nail the B plot right now.
In a couple sentences, because mm-hmm. I don't want to have to keep going back to this.
Yeah.
So Spinner's like, oh my God, Paige is sad and I need to get her a new locker. So he comes up with a plan to get a bunch of kids trading their lockers. So like for based on their needs, which is,
right.
which is an, it's a brilliant business idea.
He launches into this with like an analogy to the game Monopoly where mm-hmm. he was like, well, my sister wanted yellow and my dad wanted a red and I had to, why I wanted a blue. So we swapped a yellow for a blue and a red for a blue. And then we traded it all and we each got what we wanted. It's like, okay, you could have just said everybody has different needs.
Yes, yes. And it's like he takes a poll of all the kids and it's like, oh, do you like your locker? Do you like your locker? And if they don't like their locker, he starts pitching them other lockers that other kids don't like mm-hmm. and based on their needs. And eventually none of that matters because he just asks Hazel, who has a locker in the perfect area, if mm-hmm. she'll just trade mm-hmm. Paige.
So he doesn't do any yes. of the up and down swapping with everybody right. else.
He promised.
Yeah, he doesn't do any of it. He's just like, come on, Hazel.
I wonder if he still gave Chris the DJ Mad Dog CD that he wanted.
I hope he did.
I hope he did, too. He didn't yeah. follow through on any of that.
Because Chris is a new character this season who seems to be super typecast in a way that was obviously uncomfortable to both of us.
I love Chris Sharp because he is a ridiculous stereotype. And
we're gonna have a black boy on this show, so he has to be a DJ.
Yeah, he has to be a DJ who wears really baggy clothes
and so like almost has a Jamaican accent, well, but not quite.
Here, the actor has an accent.
Oh, the actor has an accent. Okay,
he's not putting on an accent.
I don't know. I just heard it and was like, that's a lot of layers to this character that don't add up to
the
me.
The actor does have an accent, and okay. that I think is what is like making it hard to understand him and. He's also just generally not a great actor. No. So like Chris Sharp is hilarious. I love him a lot. He's just a stupid character, but
yeah,
but we will see more of him.
Okay. Well, that's great. I hope he gets fleshed out in a way that's positive. It doesn't look like it's going to happen based on your face, but the way to motivate a black stereotype character is to offer them a mix, a CD of a rapper.
Of a, yeah, DJ. Of
a DJ.
DJ Mad Dog.
DJ Mad Dog CD.
DJ Mad, which, yeah. Now that I'm thinking of it.
Is that Drake?
No. I think that's a continuity problem. Later, okay, this isn't a spoiler of any sort.
Okay.
Later in the season, I want to say they attend a DJ Mad Dog, like, event.
Oh.
And then it turns out the DJ Mad Dog is Chris's cousin. Whoa. So then why would he need Spinner to get him an exclusive CD?
Whoa. Maybe. No, I have no idea.
That's just a continuity problem.
Okay, well, we'll tackle that when we get there.
Unless I'm wrong about DJ Mad Dog being okay. Chris's cousin.
Listeners, flag this. And later when we cover that, if we don't remember to talk about this, get mad at us. Okay.
But so yeah, and then Spinner just ends up trading Hazel's locker with Paige's, but then Paige comes and looks at Hazel's locker and is like, this isn't good enough.
It's
and
dirty.
It's like, dirty or
it.
Whatever.
Spinner, clean
yeah,
it.
Yeah. What it looked like, it looked like, cause like I guess maybe they're in this universe, their lockers don't all have the same like
trim and shelving.
Yeah, like painting and shelving yeah. and like storage hooks and shit. Like maybe some lockers have more of that and some have less. And Hazel's locker just looked barren.
Right. But because it was empty.
Ugh, but like no shelves or anything either.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's what they were trying to get
all
at.
I know is when I was in middle school, my locker, I didn't know where it was. I never used it. I had everything in my backpack all the time.
What?
Yeah. And then nobody cared about their lockers at Tyee Middle School. And then in high school, I did have a locker and intentionally, like I knew where it was and I would occasionally like keep a coat in there or something.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I just kept all my books in my bag all the time because why not?
That hurts your back. That's why not. I would have killed to have lockers.
Not my back, babe. I'm strong as hell.
You're very strong, but are you flexible?
I'm flexible as hell because all those books.
But I would have killed.
I'm not flexible.
Yeah. I would have killed to have lockers because it would have saved my fucking back while I was
in
middle and high school.
In middle school, I had a rolly backpack.
Oh, well then, yeah. Of course, that makes sense.
And in high school, I didn't bring my books with me to class.
That all makes sense now. That all makes sense.
Also, straight A student for most of all, yes, all that. Yes. So, you know.
You're just one of those lucky ones.
Yeah, I just read the book at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where was he? Oh, yeah. So Paige doesn't like the locker. And so then Jimmy ends up having a perfect locker.
You didn't have lockers?
No.
I feel like that needs more explanation.
We just didn't.
What were you supposed to do?
We would just carry our stuff in our backpack.
So, okay.
We were just supposed to carry our stuff in our backpack. And when we complained about it, they were like, sucks to suck. Like, yeah. Because also in my middle school, that wasn't a big issue because we had even and odd days. Mm-hmm. So on even days, we would have classes periods two, four, six. And then on odd days, we'd have 1, 3, 5.
Yeah, I had that too.
Yeah. And so we didn't have that many books to be taking to and from class, right? Mm-hmm. But in high school, we had all of our classes in the same day, every day. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it was a problem.
Same.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a problem because right. Too strong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so it turns
I'm
out.
I'm the Hulk. I know last episode I was Batman, but I'm the Hulk now.
Yeah, we're just going to go through all of the, oh, I was going to say about the Marvel, but.
No, we're going to bounce around. Things. We're going to bounce around universes. I'm going to be a Jedi at some point. Yeah, we'll find out.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Which Jedi? Am I Ki-Adi Mundi?
Serendipitously, mm-hmm. It turns out that Jimmy has a locker right by Hazel's locker that is actually physically a perfect locker.
And has a remote control.
The best thing.
Lock.
Yes.
He just clicked a button and it unlocked.
And it unlocked. And I'm
like, okay, cool. But also, that's the easiest key to steal ever.
Yeah, literally. Maybe, I was thinking maybe it was on his phone. There's no way it's on his phone. This is 2004.
Right, they didn't have phones.
There's no way. So, yeah, it was just a remote control. Yeah, that's so easy to steal.
Yeah.
And he serendipitously has a locker that's right by Hazel's, and it's physically perfect. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's got great shelving. Mm. It's painted beautifully.
Ooh, yeah.
And Paige is like, I want that locker.
I would move in there tomorrow.
Exactly.
I would sleep in that locker.
I would, yeah. I would. It looked like the comfiest, coziest locker.
And because I'm so flexible and because of all the backpack stuff, I could definitely get in there.
Squeeze on in. Mm-hmm. And so Spinner makes, what we didn't mention in mm-hmm. our season 2 recap is that Jimmy and Spinner ended season 2 not on great terms.
Right, because Spinner stole his MP3 player and was going to sell it, but then he didn't because he felt bad, but still,
but
the bridge was burned.
Exactly, exactly. And they ended up like fighting over who was going to win Luau King.
Oh, yeah.
And so they start.
Did we even talk about Luau King?
No, it was not important. Yeah. And so we start season 3 with them. He does ask Jimmy, is this because of the MP3 player thing? And Jimmy, for some reason, says no. Yeah. As if
he
it's
says,
not.
No, we're cool about that, but also I hate you.
Yeah, like, well, clearly you're not cool. Yeah. But in order for Spinner to get Jimmy's locker, Jimmy makes Spinner publicly humiliate himself by telling the whole school that he's whipped by Paige. And not the whole school, just their math
class.
Their
one class.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Spinner has to go up in front of the class with Coach Armstrong and tell the class that he has no backbone and that he's whipped. But he obviously does this in front of Paige, who is like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. And she's like, you just made me look like a shrew, a hag, a freaky witch or something,
yeah, something
like
that. Some weird rhyme.
Yeah. I almost said shrieky deaky, which is
honestly, that might have been it.
I don't think it was.
I think she said that she was freaky deaky.
And that she is just controlling everything he says. Mm-hmm. And Spinner's like, no, I don't.
I wasn't humiliating you. I was humiliating me.
Myself. Yeah. Because Jimmy made me. And which is like, okay, if you're not whipped by your girlfriend, then you're clearly whipped by your friend. But granted, Jimmy gave him the locker. Mm-hmm. but then at the end of the episode, it just turns out that what Paige and Spinner needed was communication, and mm-hmm. she needed to stop being so high maintenance, and he needed to stop being stupid.
He needed to stop like trying to win her over when he already has her.
When he already has her, exactly.
But also, Principal Radish is like, no, you can't trade lockers.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to trade those lockers back right away.
Right. Right. And so it all turned out to be for naught. Speaking of Radish, you seem to think that Radish isn't the same
that
person.
That can't be the same actor. He had to shave and put on like 100 pounds to be the same guy.
Not 100. You said
all right,
50
fine,
earlier.
72.
No, I do think he's gained a little weight and he's shaved his face.
He looks completely different.
He does not.
He looks 100% different.
Granted, if you shaved your beard, I don't know if I would recognize you.
You wouldn't.
But
if I shaved my beard, you'd be like, what? the heck?
Who is this baby?
Am I living with Chris Farley from 2000?
No, I guarantee you. And don't
the answer
look
is
like
no, because you don't live here. No, I don't look like Chris Farley.
Yeah, you don't.
I do look like Jack Black, though.
You don't look like Jack Black. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Both of you are hot. Jack Black is hot. You are hot.
I agree. With the Jack Black part.
But I don't think you look like Jack Black.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, that's the B plot.
That's the B plot. We covered it. We nailed it.
So now we can actually get into the A plot.
The A plot.
Because it's meteor. It means more. And honestly, it feels like not like a lot does happen in it, but at the same time, not enough happens in it.
Yeah, it's weird because it takes up a lot of time without doing much.
You know what? You know what takes up more time? The most time in this plot is the going to Stouffville. Yeah, it's like
it's Stouffville, babe. Stuff.
And they it's all
the
pronounce
place
it
where you
Stouffville.
Keep your stuff.
They all so it's spelled Stouff. Ville, V-I-L-L-E. Mm-hmm. But everyone pronounces it Stouffville.
Which must be a Canadian thing. Because like, obviously in American English, that's Stouffville.
That middle F needs to be recognized, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Stouffville.
Stouffville.
Yeah. But where they keep all the stuff.
Exactly. But so she's like...
Emma being she
is like, Mom, Snake's not even my real dad at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have it.
No, you had it.
Is that what happened?
That's pretty much the first thing. So well, okay. The
we
first
already
day
talked
of school,
about the like the fake pregnancy.
Right. The I fake mean, not, the, not the fake pregnancy. The fake not, birth.
Spike was faking the pregnancy the whole time.
The fake birth.
Right.
But then the first day of school comes.
Right.
And while Spinner's over here trying to get Paige a locker, Emma is in Miss Hatzilakos' class, and Miss Hatzilakos calls attendance, and she calls Emma Simpson. And Miss Hatzilakos is like, oh, it says Simpson on my record. And Emma's like, well, that must be a mistake because he's not my dad. My last name is Nelson. My mom didn't even take his last name. Hello, feminism. And all the kids are like, relax.
Jesus, Emma, chill out.
Yeah.
And Miss Hatzilakos is like, I don't even do it. It wasn't me. Yeah, don't get mad at me.
Lady in the office.
I don't have control over the attendance. It does say Nelson here on my sheet, and I said Simpson because I thought it was funny, but it wasn't me. Don't get mad at me.
But so that starts Emma's like, brain a twist in with my baby brother is about to be born with both parents. I have two parents, but one of them for some reason hasn't been in my life in 11 years. Mm-hmm. So she starts asking questions. She mm-hmm. asks Snake, she asks Spike, and they both are weird. They're both being real weird about Emma's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Shane McKay, and Emma knows his name, but she's only met him when she was 3.
Yeah, and she said that sometimes she goes into the old yearbooks and looks at the picture of him to feel something.
That's not what she says. We watch her do it, though.
We do watch her. No, she says it when she's explaining why she was looking at the yearbook to somebody.
To feel something?
I mean, it wasn't those words, but that's what she said.
Okay. So she knows Shane's name, and she has a fun lifetime-ass flashback of him when she's 3 and has curly... I guess people grow out of their curly hair when they get older.
Not me.
But this baby had way curlier hair than Miriam McDonald ever has in her life. And she's standing there watching Spike, Amanda Steptoe in 80s cosplay of herself, fight with a doctor. And so Emma's brain is telling her, my dad's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my dad. Even though that would not make sense timeline wise, because Spike was 13 when Emma was born,
mm-hmm.
16 when this alleged memory happened.
And that doctor in the memory was like 45.
Exactly. And Shane, I think, was only a couple years older than Spike, like maybe mm-hmm. 2. So he could not have been an 18-year-old doctor unless... Emma's dad is Doogie Howser.
Neil Patrick Harris himself.
Honestly, I'd cast Neil Patrick Harris as Emma's dad. They look very much alike.
Yeah. I mean, you would have to change the plot line, though, because he would have to be the main character.
Oh, yeah. It would be Doogie Howser finds out he has a kid.
How I Met Your Father.
How I Met Your Father.
Is about Emma and Doogie Howser. I would watch that show in a heartbeat. And I know
too.
We watched the other How I Met Your Father, but I'd much rather watch
me
this one.
Me too. Oh, my God. Turns out that Barney Stinson has been Doogie Howser this entire time.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Witness protection. and
after he killed somebody in surgery. He killed a mob boss in surgery. He had to get put in witness protection. Wait. Gritty reboot of Doogie Howser. Gritty reboot of Doogie Howser. He killed a mob boss, has to go into witness protection.
And then it's no longer Doogie Howser.
And becomes a womanizing fool in New York City.
Okay, I understand that. I like that. I was going to ask, if we put Doogie Howser into the Degrassi universe, does he know Albert Manning?
Definitely.
They definitely work together.
They definitely work together. And Doogie, because he's an amazing doctor, knew he beat his son.
Yeah, he was like,
That's a son beater right
there.
Yeah,
that's a child beater.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think Doogie probably caused the car accident to save...
to save Craig.
Craig. I've never watched Doogie Howser.
Me neither.
I have no idea what happens in that show, but I assume he does a lot of surgeries on mob buses.
I just know he's a child doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he sits on a computer. That's all I know. Mm. But where were we? Emma thinks her dad is a doctor. And so she decides to do some research and figure out where to go to meet her dad on her own before her parents start a whole new family, you know. Mm-hmm. I won't say without her, but in her brain it's probably without her. And she employs Craig to come with her, and
she does a bunch of searching on like pre-Google search engines that result in very few results. You have to get like word perfect on these search engines.
Yeah, she was looking up Shane McKay. She was looking up Shane Andrew McKay, and she was looking up, and then she had to like delete things, and then finally she found one address, and she's
because she finally searched for Dr. S. McKay, and it came up with somebody who's not Shane McKay. Obviously.
Yes, she employs. So that's the day that she employs Craig to come with her, and she asks him, come help me find my dad. And he's like, why didn't you ask JT or Toby? And she's like, because I thought you'd understand, you know, with your dad and all. And I was like, Emma, you manipulative bitch.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, his dad is freshly died.
She pulls the dead dad card so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And
Craig
has like this like a weird smile on his face about it.
Exactly. And listener, since you know what we are staring down the barrel of with Craig in the coming seasons, you know what I mean when I say, that weird smile. Ezra doesn't know because he has never seen the show. Oh, I never introduced us. Hi, I'm Keely.
We did do this.
But I never said, hi, I'm Keely. I'm a self-proclaimed Degrassi expert. And this is my boyfriend, Ezra, who knows nothing.
That's true. You didn't say that. I only know nothing about Degrassi. I know a lot about a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Right.
The X-Men and the Beatles.
Thanks. That's such a white man answer.
I know. It was on purpose.
Also,
I know the difference between Hellman's mayonnaise and...
I'm a white man. Craig has an interesting look on his face when she's like, dead dad card. And you could just see his brain going, dads, dead dads. I can help fix Emma. You'll understand all of that by the end of this season.
Because Craig becomes a therapist who specializes in fixing people who have daddy issues.
I wish.
Oh, okay.
I do wish. But she takes him to go meet Shane McKay. And I don't remember where they go for this.
Stouffville.
No, Stouffville is where the mental hospital is.
Oh, Dr. Shane McKay. Yeah, he's somewhere in Toronto.
They go to meet Dr. Shane McKay. Yeah. And he answers the door and he's black. And Emma's like, I'm pretty sure my dad's not black.
They end the scene with just like, oh, he's black.
And that's just... Yeah, no explanation, nothing. They're just like, oh, okay, well, this clearly isn't her dad. Yeah. And so then her and Craig do some more research, and she finds that Shane McKay lives or is located in, because they don't, because I
it
feel
was
like,
unclear what the, what, like, yeah, it wasn't clear if he was a patient or a doctor at this asylum.
Right, at this mental hospital.
Yeah.
And so then they go to Stouffville and they have a fun train montage with...
The train montage is so long.
It's very long. And it's got music with lyrics in it, too.
And you were saying it's the only time you've ever seen a musical montage.
Yeah. I won't say the only time, but it's the first time, certainly.
Okay.
But it's like a montage with like music that has like words in it. And it's like, oh, okay. And then they end up at this mental hospital, which is where Emma goes, and they find that S. McKay, she at first asks, hey, I'm here to see Shane McKay. And this, I'm obsessed with this woman. This woman who works at the mental hospital is just like a gorgeous redhead. And she's just like, well, do you have an appointment? And Emma's like, no. And she's like, and then she can't answer her any further questions because she needs to go.
Yeah,
help
she's helping some patient.
Yeah. And so then Craig finds Shane's name on this board, which is where it shows that he's in room 209. And so Emma just goes up to room 209 and she sees, and she's expecting like a doctor mm-hmm. in there, but she sees that it is a like bedroom type room where a man who is tall looks a little too much like Snake, in my opinion.
So much like Snake.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I didn't tell you this. That's not the same actor that played Shane in the original series. No.
Oh, okay.
The pictures they used of him, I think, are. Mm. But the guy that they got for this is not the same guy.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it's weird that they cast a guy that looks like exactly like Snake. But she goes in, she sees a guy who looks a little too much
They're
like
just
Snake.
Establishing that Spike has a type.
Yeah. And Shane is in there, or a man is in there, twisting his plate because he needs it to be perfect in a certain way. And
yeah, they kind of just like are like, well, he has
vague mental
problems,
problems,
so let's give him OCD.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And the vagaries.
Vagaries.
The vagosity of Shane's mental problems is very prominent in these two episodes because it's just any quirk that they need to give him that's convenient for the scene they give him.
Yeah.
And Emma walks in and she's like, I'm looking for Shane McKay. And he, in a terrible brain damaged accent, speech impediment. It's good because he's a good actor, but it is offensive, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's like loosely deaf Down syndrome. It's
there we
not
go.
Good.
Yeah, it's I've never met a person with brain damage, so I don't know what kind of speech impediment they might have.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just does kind of sound like he has Down syndrome, mm-hmm. Which you know.
Yeah, it's a weird. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, I get why it's like this, and I know it's 2004, so mm-hmm. I get why there wasn't more sensitivity around it, but. Also, it's just clear that it's wrong.
Right,
know?
Right. Exactly. It's like, it doesn't feel true to anybody's actual experience.
Mm-hmm. But maybe it is. Maybe we're not doctors. We don't know.
That's true. That's true.
But it's, come on.
It does feel like a stereotype of a person who we would then find out fell, hit their head, mm-hmm. now has brain damage and has had brain damage for almost 15 years.
Right.
And Shane is like, huh? Who are you? And Emma's like, she's like, oh my God, are you Shane McKay? Or she says, I'm looking for Shane McKay. And he's like, I'm Shane McKay. And she's like, oh my God. And she says it out loud. That was an inside thought, Emma, which was, you were supposed to be a doctor, not a patient. I need to get out of here.
Mm-hmm. And then she's trying to leave and he like pats her on the head and mm-hmm. is like, you have blonde hair like my daughter, Emma.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, you have pretty blonde hair like Emma. She's my daughter. And then he brings her into the room and Emma's like, oh my God. And she looks at the picture that he has of her and Spike. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is my dad. And
she's like, no, I am Emma. Mm-hmm. After just like a little too long deciding whether to say it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, and this is where my problems with the way his mental disorder is,
right.
His mental disability is portrayed, which is one of the first things we hear from him is he doesn't understand the concept of time.
Right.
He looks down at the picture and he goes, no, Emma's little. So you're thinking, okay, so he's got some like,
he's like stuck in the past. Okay,
right.
Great. That makes
but
sense.
Then in future, in the second episode, it doesn't feel like the same guy would say these
completely
things.
Completely different.
Yeah. It's very, very just convenient. They're just writing him for convenience.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then he, as Emma tries to leave, he starts throwing a fit. And then the beautiful redhead nurse comes in and she's like, you need to understand. Oh no. She asks, who do you think you are coming in here, barging in like this?
I'm his daughter, actually.
And she's like, I'm his daughter, Emma. And then she's like,
oh. She drops a full actually in there too.
Yes, yeah. She does. And the nurse is like, oh, because she knows how much Emma means to him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, he has had severe brain damage and needs to stick to certain routines, which blah 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 blah.
And then she's like, here, knit, Shane, knit. Yes. You like to knit. Chill out. Yes. He's like, no, she can't leave. She's going to stay. No, she can't leave. Knit, Shane, yeah. Knit. No. Knit,
and knitting calms him down, which eventually we will see Emma come to a point in her life where she needs to have knitting to calm her down. Oh. And I think it's really, really fucking sweet. Oh. It's one of those little tiny details, like Craig putting on the glasses to abuse Ashley in that scene, that I love, that they never put a highlight on it. They don't say anything about it, but eventually in a couple seasons, Emma does go through a thing and then she has to knit to like keep herself. And wow. I love that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so then Emma leaves and Joey comes and picks them up and he's going off. He's like, second day of school and you guys are already ditching class, yada yada yada. What is in Stouffville? And then Emma drops another actually.
It's my dad, actually.
And they do that a lot in this episode. Oh, we skipped Spike's baby shower she does the same thing. It's like Emma will say something about Shane and then everyone who existed in the 80s is like, well,
Shane. Oh, that's your mom's story to tell.
Yeah. And but we can't
ask your mom.
We can't trust Spike to do shit. So I feel like someone else should have spoken up.
Yeah, for real.
But then Joey takes them home. Emma goes home. Spike is like, where were you? And she's so pregnant and angry.
She says the line, you have a lot of explaining to do.
And she says it so angry. You have a lot of explaining to do, young lady. And she stands up and she just struggles. That's my favorite part of this episode, is that Spike is so tiny and her stomach is so big. And she's, every time she does anything, she's just struggling.
Ricky Ricardo, you got a lot of explaining to do.
You got a lot of explaining to do. And then,
no, it's Lucy. You got a lot of explaining to do. Yeah.
And then Emma comes in and she's like, I found him. And then Spike, my favorite Spike delivery of all time. Shane? You found Shane? And and then she freaks out and she's like, and then she starts having a Braxton Hicks and she's like, oh, ow, ow. And then this Snake has to pull her back and like have her sit down. And then he's like, Emma, you need to relax. Your mom has been through a lot. Oh, and Emma's like blaming her mom basically for the reason why Shane is in that quote unquote prison, even though that redhead nurse seems very nice.
Mm-hmm. You're into this redhead nurse.
I think I just love her. I just need to know her story. Why is she so invested? She's so like, I think it's because she's a really good actress.
She was great.
So it's like, I'm like, I just see so much in her eyes. I'm like, how did she end up here? But
then Emma storms downstairs or outside. It was unclear.
It looked like she went outside, but then she
went
was
out
going
the front door, down the stairs to the basement.
Yeah, it made no sense. So that's basically where we end the first episode, right?
Yeah. She's downstairs upset.
Yeah. And so then second episode happens. Mm-hmm. And
we're back at school. Emma's storming up the stairs and Snake is like, hold up. You got to understand. Your mom's been through a lot. Mm-hmm. You heard one side of the story, but you haven't heard hers.
Right. But before this...
Oh, there's
Spike,
more?
Spike. This comes after Spike is knitting in the living room, and she answers the door, and Shane is at the door.
Oh, that's first?
Yeah. Oh, because we didn't mention that before Emma left the mental hospital, she wrote down...
the address,
her address
to mail...
So that they can write each
write
other.
Letters. Yeah.
But then Shane took that and went... I'm going to visit you. And so he shows up at Spike's house while she's very pregnant, very knitting. Mm-hmm. And she answers the door and she's like, Shane, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm here to see Emma. And then she's like, you should leave. And he's like, I won't. And so she invites him in so that she can basically call someone to come get him. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we go to Emma and Snake at school so that Snake can talk to Emma so that she can talk to her mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He wants her to apologize because it turns out that it's not Snake or it's not Spike who locked him up. It's his own parents.
His parents. And we find out that the reason that Shane hit his head is that and this is more so what I know from the series. So I don't know exactly what Snake told Emma. But what happens is that Shane came from a rich family.
Spike came from a poor family. Mm-hmm. They didn't like Spike. They didn't like that their son impregnated Spike. Mm-hmm. So they kept him from the baby. Mm-hmm. And he didn't like that. He wanted to be around the baby. And he took acid, went on a bridge, and either fell or jumped. It's never clear. Mm-hmm. And that's how he got brain damaged. And that's how, I guess that was really the show's way. Now that I'm thinking of it, that was probably, if they had done that plot in Next Generation, that just would have been the show's way of making Spike a single mom. Mm-hmm, like they were like, we got to make her a single mom somehow so we can show single mom life.
Yeah.
So Snake explains the story to Emma, and Emma's like, huh, okay, well, I guess I understand more about my mom's situation. And he flips her a quarter. He flips her a quarter very pluckily, mm-hmm. And tells her to call her mom. And so she catches the quarter and she's like, all right, I'll talk to my mom. And back at the Nelson residence, Shane is looking around at the place, and he's like, huh. He looks at Spike and Snake's wedding picture, and he's like, and this is where my problem comes in with the way his mental disorder is portrayed. Mm-hmm. He's a man who couldn't even tell time before, where he thought that Emma was still three, mm-hmm. Can suddenly come into the Nelson residence and make complex thoughts such as, you got married to Snake. I should be where Snake is. This should be me.
I should be with you. This should be my baby.
Yeah.
And he like does the whole like touching a pregnant woman's belly without asking thing, mm-hmm. which is such a violation. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on. And then when she's like, no, I'm going to call somebody. He takes the phone from her, knocks her around a little bit, knocks a bunch of stuff down.
Yeah. Ugh. Cause like, okay, he's infantilized when he needs to be for the scene. He's calculated when he needs to be for the scene, where he's being like, this should be ours. Mm-hmm. This should be my baby, blah, blah, blah. And he's violent when he needs to be for the scene. Mm-hmm. Just anything in that situation, anything that's going to fit the situation so that the characters around him can be afraid, which is shitty.
Yeah. This is so many just random symptoms.
Things that none of them make sense together. Yeah. So he starts throwing shit, and there's a CD rack that gets tossed to the ground.
Yeah.
There's a phone that's just and Spike is afraid. Mm-hmm. So she tries to call someone. He takes the phone from mm-hmm. her.
Emma tries to call, but he has the phone. So mm-hmm. She gets the busy zone. Yeah.
And it's like, huh, what's going to happen? And so then after school, right? Emma doesn't skip.
I think when the phone doesn't ring, she leaves. She goes home. That was the sense I got.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe. And so she goes home and she finds Shane there with her mom, and Spike is like cowering on the ground in labor
because he shoved her against a wall, and her belly hit the wall, and she went into labor.
Yes, because that's how labor works,
right? You have to get jostled.
Yeah. If you move a little too much, labor. Mm-hmm. Water didn't break at all, though.
Water never broke, but she was about to pop, and then he popped her.
And so Emma shows up, and she's like, what's going on? Oh, my God, Shane, what's... And so Emma, knowing what she knows, is able to calm him down. She takes what Spike was knitting, which was a beanie for the baby, which mm-hmm. was bad, mm-hmm. and she hands it to him. She's like, here, knit. You like knitting. And he's like, I do like knitting. You're right.
I like you, my daughter, and I like knitting. Hmm. So the rest of my problems are gone.
Yeah. And so Spike tells Emma to phone Snake, which is why my theory that this episode was written by a British person, I think is true. Because at the same time, Spike says phone Snake, and a couple of moments before, Emma walked into the room and said, what's happened? Instead of what happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, a British person wrote this.
Yeah, maybe. Or is that how they talk in Canada? I don't know. Call us and find out.
Yeah, Canadians, let us know. Do you guys use more British slang than we know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, call us and find out.
And so Spike tells Emma to phone Snake, and she does. And then we get a lovely... it's like funny because it's like, this is such a serious episode. Mm-hmm. But they just needed to get like a fun father finds out he's about to have a baby moment. So Emma calls the front desk. Front desk tells Radich. Radich tells Joey. And Joey's like, oh, I'll go get him.
I know where he is. He's with his insect club out back.
Insect club, which Snake running insect club is killing me. Like, that is so funny. I don't think we ever go back to it. Liberty's the only character we know who's in Insect Club.
Mm-hmm. They're slowly approaching a butterfly, and Snake keeps saying, quiet,
slowly,
and
then Joey quiet.
Runs. Hey, Snake, you're a dad! And Snake's like, oh!
And he like hugs Liberty so fast, and she's like so, like, oh, what? And
don't
he runs.
Me,
yeah, she's like, after what happened with Coach Armstrong, I can't be hugging teachers. Please. And he runs off to go home, and he finds Spike there.
Which early in the episode, in the first episode, it was at the baby shower. She's like, somebody's like, oh, it's going to be hard to have a home birth. And she goes, not with my midwife, my great midwife there, and smiles at the midwife. And I'm like, oh, okay. So the midwife obviously isn't going to show up.
Yeah.
But I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, she started going into labor without her. So
That's true.
So certainly it had to be an emergency. Mm-hmm. But Snake comes in and he's like, my wife's giving birth on the floor. The midwife is here. Shane McKay is knitting in the corner.
And Emma's like, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll talk about this later.
Don't worry about it now.
And then while Spike is giving birth, she feels the need to tell Emma how much she loves her and how appreciated she is. And Emma's like, please focus on giving birth. We
thanks,
don't need
Mom,
to do this now.
Priorities, okay?
Yeah.
Your priorities are always wrong, Mom.
Yeah, yeah. Did she push baby Jack out of her hoo-ha?
She shoved a little babe out the vagina.
Mm-hmm. And while that's happening, I guess Emma couldn't handle the intensity of the Ring of Fire or any of those crazy birth moments. Mm-hmm. And so she's sitting outside with Shane as he's finished knitting the beanie.
It's a really nice beanie.
It's a very nice hat. It's so cute. Mm-hmm. And Emma's like, wow, it's nice. And Shane says, your mom's bad at knitting. And then the scary black truck from his mental hospital shows up. Mm-hmm. to come take him back.
With the redhead.
With the beautiful redhead in the passenger seat to come take him back. And then Emma's like, I'll write you. Thanks. And he's like, what does he tell her? What are his parting words?
I don't remember.
It's something like bye, my daughter or something like that. Like he refers to her as his daughter. And thought she was going to say bye, dad.
Yeah, I did.
And she didn't. Mm-mm. But.
Because then she runs inside. Mm-hmm. And she gets in family photo mode with Spike and Snake and
Jack.
And she says, oh, baby Jack, we have one. You look just like our dad.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, baby Jack, we have one dad.
Oh, baby Jack, we have the same father. Well, that's a lie.
Yeah. But yeah, she tells Jack, you look just like our dad. And it's like, oh, okay. Do you think they teed that up on purpose with the dialogue?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because that was good. I never really caught on to that where it's like, he's like, it was nice to see my daughter or whatever mm-hmm. he says. And she goes, bye. She doesn't say dad. And then she goes inside and says, oh, Jack, you look just like our dad.
Yeah, I think definitely that was intentional.
Mm-hmm. That was really good.
Also inaccurate.
Yeah, it isn't accurate, but
Shane's your dad.
But Snake is the dad that she has.
Snake is her father figure.
Snake is her father figure, mm-hmm. as the title would imply. Mm-hmm. And then do you remember the midwife's name?
Based on the way she looked, I'm going to say Dinah Grossman.
Okay. So Dinah takes a family photo of Snake, Spike, Emma, and mm-hmm. Jack, and that's where we freeze frame. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's okay for me to stereotype Jews.
You think she looked Jewish?
Yeah.
Even with her little pigtails in the baby shower scene?
I thought she was the one with the large brown hair.
No, she was the one with the little pigtails.
Never mind. Jews don't do pigtails.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's not kosher.
You didn't recognize her in the, like, you didn't.
I did think of it. It was a different character.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was the same. It was the same midwife. It was just the one with the pigtails.
Oh, I just got the character wrong.
Yeah. They didn't make it clear who she was talking about when they said that.
No.
Because, yeah, the lady with the brown curly hair, I thought was her too until I saw her at the end. And I was like, oh, so it turns out that lady.
Yeah, I thought she just had a different hairstyle when she was working.
No. But, yeah, that's the episode.
It is.
How did you feel? How'd you like it?
Yeah, I think that we talked about the things that were like somewhat problematic that definitely I feel like that finding things problematic in Degrassi is rare. And I didn't like having to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like the B plot being two episodes of just random junk was ridiculous.
Yeah, I hated the B
plot. That was really bad. And also, like, obviously I'm only interested in JT and Toby, so let's get more of them. I just want to see more JT. He's so funny. I thought that it was weird, but obviously it set something up. But I think it was weird that Sean, who is like the badass who doesn't care about skipping school, was like, no, I can't skip school. Right. Go with Craig. I thought that was weird. I know, right, it sets up something, right, with Craig, right? That's what's happening. But like,
yeah, kind of. But no,
just because Craig's the photographer, so they can get
the photo of her, yeah, of Emma and her dad.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, I do. I actually think it was more setting up another Sean and Emma rift.
Ah, okay. Because which Sean's not helpful enough or something.
Yeah. Like, right, yeah, eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. No spoilers, but it no was, spoilers. I don't know. I feel like the Emma and Shane and Spike and Snake stuff was like good, but also like Spike is just dumb and bad a lot, which, yeah, is pretty annoying.
She's a shrew.
Yeah, but just a character who's dumb and bad, not enough.
Like, yeah.
I needed to understand her motivation better than I felt like was given. And maybe
I think
maybe watching the original series that would be there, but like, mm-hmm, just like, yeah, it was hard for her.
I think it really just came off that she was fucking embarrassed, and that's even worse.
Yeah.
Like, she's embarrassed that the guy that she got pregnant by is now mentally disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, that's how it comes off.
Yeah.
Because there is no good motive for her to have kept this from Emma.
Yeah. They needed to explain that better.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that was disappointing. The B plot was kind of dumb. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't think this was the strongest work.
Yeah, me neither. How would you rate this episode on a scale of 1 to 5?
A scale of 1 to 5, I would give it,
Hi, editing Kaylee here. We ran into the same problem as last week with the audio being a little bit messed up. So if anything sounded off in this recording, that's why. And that is also why you won't get to hear Ezra give his rating. I'll let you know right now. It was a 1.5, pretty low. But yeah, moving on.
I thought this was genuinely poorly handled, and
wow.
I thought this was bad.
Wow. Okay. I like this episode.
Yeah.
There are, you know, there, like you said, there are the problematic elements of it, but I like the intention behind the episode. I like the message of the episode, and I like where we are with Emma's, like,
yeah, arc. I think, yeah, I can agree with you on all of those points. But I just think the whole package was so bad that, like, the fact that the Emma arc was individually good,
mm-hmm,
everything around it was too messed for me.
Yeah. I would give it 2.5 butterflies on a leaf.
Nice. Butterflies on a leaf interrupted by Joey.
Yeah. But what else do we fucking do at the end of these? okay, so with Emma, and where do you see this plot line going for Emma in the future?
I am curious to see if Emma and Shane maintain any kind of relationship, mm-hmm, or if it's just kind of like when Emma needs somebody else, she goes to Shane and kind of uses him a little bit. That, mm-hmm, we might guess for what happens. But and then I think that it's Emma and Spike continue to rift, even like they maybe come back together in moments, but like they continue to grow apart, and Emma and Snake kind of grow together in a way.
Interesting. How about Spinner and Paige?
I mean, this seemed to leave them on a stronger point, but I know that what I want is for Paige to end up with JT, so they have to break up.
They have to break up. Okay. Okay. And next week's episode is called You Got the Look.
Mm.
And our key player is one Miss Manuela Santos.
Ooh, okay.
So what are your predictions?
I think this is about Manny learning how to use makeup, mm-hmm, in order to impress the cheer squad and like stay in Paige's good graces. So I think probably what happens is she spends a little bit of time at clown school.
Oh my God.
And learns to paint her face like a clown.
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay.
If people know one thing about Degrassi, it's the thing that happens to Jimmy that you
yeah,
know about.
I know about that. Yeah. And that's not until season four, right?
That's not until season four. Yeah. But if they know one other thing about Degrassi, it's you got the look.
Really? Yeah. Okay. So then is it about like, okay. So then I think it's about, Manny, like, I think it has a lot to do with Manny, like growing into a woman in some way. And my first thought was makeup, which maybe is like, I don't know, reductive of women, but
no, I think
that was accurate. But I also think that it has to do more with rather than cheer. I think it's about like how she deals with makeup in relationship to how she tries to present to men, but also is like trying to like internalize who she is.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a great guess.
Thank you.
It's funny that you were like, what did you say?
I'm smart and good.
You are smart and good. That's why I love you.
I love you too.
It's funny that you would start to say something about makeup and then you go, not to be, you know, what do you say? Reductive?
Yeah.
Reductive to women. But I would honestly say, I don't think Degrassi tackles like a makeup, like, you know, as you know, from a, what are we, which wave of feminism are we in right now?
I think 14th or something.
The 18th wave of feminism, is, you know, being critical of how, like, of the ways that we paint our faces and alter our appearances to seem more appealing to the outside world. And I would honestly say, I really don't think Degrassi even tackles makeup in that way, maybe ever. There are other ways that they tackle it with like future characters and hijabs and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
But,
okay.
Yeah, it's interesting that you would say that, because now that because I've always tried to challenge myself and be like, what issues has Degrassi not tackled? And there's very few that I can think of, and that's one of them.
You're welcome for educating you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for educating me about 17th wave feminism.
I do what I can. And after this conversation, we've moved on to 19th.
Oh my God. I just can't keep up anymore.
I know.
but... We did it.
We did.
We're in season three. I'm so season excited. Three. There's so much. So much is going to happen.
I'm glad, because if nothing happened, I'd be upset.
I know. It would be so boring. Just 22 episodes of JT and Toby. I don't know.
Honestly, if I could watch 22 episodes of JT and Toby doing like a sketch show. Oh my God.
They would have a lot of fun with that. They would have a lot of fun. After this episode, I guess not, since you thought it was a bad episode. Are you a Degrassi fan?
I don't think this changed anything from last episode. I still am a fan. I think this definitely didn't like propel me to further fandom, and I don't think anything's gonna like put me over the top and be like, you know what I should do is buy a Degrassi jean jacket. Like, no. I'm never gonna get there.
I don't think I'll ever get there.
Yeah, no. And I don't like generally do that with anything, but I mean, I have a couple of hockey jerseys, but yeah, it's different. yeah, I would say this episode didn't knock me off the train of fandom I was already on.
Okay.
But it certainly didn't propel me forward either.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And having watched this episode and heard my opinions on it and dealt with my concern about Principal Radish's body issues... Do you still want to date me?
Of course.
Oh, good.
Of course.
Oh, good.
Even though you think this episode was bad, and I love this episode.
I think that this episode was bad.
Okay. yeah. Well, next week we'll be covering season 3, episode 3, You Got the Look. Like I said, iconic. And where can people find you on social media?
I am at Ezra Partier on Instagram, at Ezra Partier on TikTok and Twitter. My show, The Daily Misinformer, is at Daily Misinformer on all the things. Please subscribe to that. I really appreciate it. I'm also on the at Public Breakup sketch team and the at Bounce House sketch team. So check those out as well. And that's me. Keely, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at OMG It's Key, also TikTok at OMG It's Key. And you can find the podcast on Instagram at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast. And you can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com.
And we still forgot to check the reviews. So if you've been leaving reviews that I'm supposed to read on air to Keely, add another review saying that you're upset with us for not reading them yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And please rate it 5 stars. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you guys for listening. Bye.